In studio right now is Kate Kaminsky. She is a local author. And good morning. Thanks.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for... Where are you from, by the way? A little background on you.
Fairport, outside of Rochester.
But, okay.
My husband and I lived in Utica, New Hartford for about 30 years.
Okay.
So now I'm in Old Forge.
And which is...
Loving life.
Is
about
it
to
snowing
get snow.
Up there yet?
About
yeah,
to get you're, snow.
I think there might be... Well, that's where the weather advisory is going to be starting later on today. All right. Talk about this book, Breakfast Memories, A Dementia Love Story. This is about your mom, so your mom suffered from dementia.
Correct.
And I think that we oftentimes don't take the time to think about what that really means, but you lose the person, right? I mean, you can lose
dementia
a person.
Dementia steals the memory from the mind.
Yeah. They don't know who...
They don't.
They don't
it's
know.
Very
yeah.
painful, Bill. It's I don't know if you know anyone with dementia, but it is not nice. It's a mean disease.
Yeah. And you also had found a discovery after your mom had passed.
Correct.
That really led to the book. Talk about
really.
That.
Really. So this is a story of love. Breakfast Memories, A Dementia Love Story. It's a story of love and a love story. And the story of how those with dementia, I was a caregiver and daughter, watch the mind disintegrate.
Yeah.
So fast forward, my husband and I and my boys moved my mom from Fairport, my dad and mom from Fairport, closed out the family house. And my dad died pretty much immediately, Bill, upon moving him into New Hartford. And when we went to close out the family home, I discovered a love language that existed between my parents that I didn't know about. And my father, with his incredible brilliance and genius, every morning in order to fight the disease of dementia that was stealing his wife of 65 years, wrote her poetry. A napkin every morning he wrote a love sonnet to his wife in hopes that she would remember that he loved her.
Yeah.
I know, step up your game is exactly the deal.
Wow.
You're
right about
so
that.
He, and when she was passing, dementia continued its progress so long after he died. And when she was really failing, the nursing home called me up and said, Kate, she stopped eating breakfast. Often the cycle timing with those with dementia changes.
Yeah.
And we're going to change her breakfast schedule because when she gets to breakfast, she just sits and pets her napkin. So when I was closing out the house and I found these baggies of napkins, I took them home thinking, oh my gosh, that's a beautiful love story, right? Never thinking I would write a book, but just knowing this is really cool. He wrote her poetry. I brought them up to the dementia home that day when I got the phone call that she was skipping breakfast, put them next to her in what they call a memory book, and she sat and she smiled and she touched them. And she started eating, and she regained her strength. So my story, Bill, is that we don't have a cure for dementia right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the way, part of proceeds from my book do go to dementia support groups.
Okay.
But that there is love that is stored within the soul, that memory can be held in the soul. So for caregivers going through this, it's a rotten, mean journey.
Yeah. You're
unprepared, but don't give up. There is memory in the soul. I saw it. I watched my mom remember that she had been loved, and it brought back who she was.
Yeah. Something triggers, right?
You know what? I believe that it's the love that triggered in her soul.
Yeah,
her
yeah.
brain was gone. She had no idea who I was, Bill.
Mm.
She didn't know anything.
How is that for, I mean, it must be just heartbreaking for you, for your dad and other family members. It's just got to be so difficult to deal with.
Difficult can't even start to describe it. And you'll hear of friends and family that have dementia, and they're telling the truth. You're unprepared. It's mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But because the person disappears. So when they get into a dementia home, they basically sit, and the caregivers have no idea who this person was before he or she arrived.
Talk about the home. I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good.
I have a terrible problem with that. That's what my wife says. She'll never forget that. That is that, oftentimes we say, well, never a home. We're never going to put mom or dad or your husband or wife into a home. But with dementia and Alzheimer's as well, it almost is the only choice. Unless you're willing to or have the means to be able to quit your job and do 24/7 care, you can, right? Explain that. Because that had to be a tough decision in itself.
So dementia and acuity, okay, so the health status of the person is different. So dementia is the brain only. So with dementia, socialization is important because the person is still healthy.
Right.
Their brain is gone.
Yeah.
Their memory, they don't know who they are. So in my particular case, the best place for my mom was a dementia home. And it was great with her, but still it was hard on me. No matter where she was, it wasn't enough.
Right,
I wasn't
right.
doing enough.
Yeah.
And my father, I was lucky enough, Bill, to have hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And hospice gave me the opportunity with my father for me to listen to him tell me about these napkins, about the poetry he wrote, and that he thought it was his only defense, that his weaponry against something where there was no cure was going to be something that he did on his own.
Yeah.
And he did it. But I didn't listen to him during hospice with these stories because I was so preoccupied with caregiving.
Right.
I was worried about his pain. I was worried about his pills. But with dementia, again, it's a really hard disease and people just need to know that there's hope.
Yeah.
That there is memory. And so keep giving that love. Show up. Don't give up. Your kindness will be remembered.
The book is Breakfast Memories, a dementia love story, and the love stories between your mom and dad.
Correct.
And beyond. I'm sure that involves you. It's written by Kate Hanley. That would be your maiden name, is that
you
right?
You are correct. My middle name.
Middle name.
Kate Hanley Kaminsky is my name.
Okay. And I have to tell you a little bit. The book is available all over, by the way.
Thank you.
And I had the copy at home, and I left it at home this morning, and I wanted to be able to reference it. So I had to grab it. So I picked it up on Apple Books. So it's I have a digital copy here. So it's easy to get Amazon. You're going to be doing a book signing coming up?
I am. So I'm at the JCC next Wednesday, January 22nd at 6 p.m. at the JCC Auditorium. And any information, contact for me is on my website, breakfastmemories.com. And the book, in fact, is available at all major retailers, Amazon, even on iBook as well.
It's a tough, I want to say, it is an emotional read. And that's a good thing. I mean, that's obviously, you wrote very well, and but it's the stories that do touch you, and you apply it to your own life. Would you suggest that this is something that if someone's going through this with a family member, this would be almost a handbook, something to give you some inspiration?
You know, inspiration, yes. A handbook, no. But just knowing that you're not alone,
right?
Because the loneliness is insufferable.
Yeah.
It is really hard. So just to know that someone else walked this, when I was experiencing going through everything with my mom, I wish I had had this.
Mm-hmm.
Because just to be able to cry and say, this woman went through it too.
Yeah.
And know that, you know what? The brain is gone. She doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
But in my mom's case, my dad beat dementia. She remembered who he was.
And I want to disagree with you on the handbook part, because I really feel just the message that comes out that your dad took the time to write on that napkin. The handbook part for me is, it gives somebody an idea. This is what, boy, I could be a part of his or her life. And this is something that I could do. I mean, maybe writing a poem might not be for everybody, but maybe there's something else. So that part offers you some ideas for helping you get through the whole process.
True.
I would assume.
Very
so,
true.
Andrew.
It's interesting, you know, getting back to the point you made earlier about the power of love. You know, you hear all the time about a couple that's been together forever and one person passes away and then shortly after, almost in a sense that their love killed the other person because they're not around. But in this case, like you said, the love saved the relationship and it saved, basically it kept the quality of life. It's just really nice thing to think about.
You know, thank you. And I agree. I believe me, I was overwhelmed. I found these napkins in the kitchen cabinet in baggies.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. All of his poetry. And some of them were dark. Some of them were, I love you. I can't handle the darkness of the decrease of who I know you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them were really happy. You're my favorite Irish girl. I love the step in you. And, you know, it was really amazing that she was searching for something. And that, again, dementia, there is no cure. So we have to hope that the soul and every moment that we give love is remembered somehow. And I saw it happen.
Yeah. Can I ask you about, and maybe you didn't experience this, but I've talked to others that have gone through this and some that are going through it right now, is that it can also involve, they're no longer the same person. They don't remember anything. And sometimes they can become afraid and sometimes they can become mean, which makes it so difficult for the spouse and for the children. Did you experience any of that?
You know, not with my mom. She was happy. And I have to tell you, after I dug into their relationship for the first time at, you know, 58 years old, I went through every one of their wedding albums and saw this love.
Yeah.
You know, she was the power of what they had that I didn't see as a little kid growing up.
Yeah,
I never
saw
my parents in love.
Yeah. Right.
I was a kid.
You don't want to see that.
Right, exactly. But
it had to have helped your own marriage, too.
You know, you would think, right? So as my husband Mike is listening to this, I'm going to say, okay.
She expects a note on the counter when she comes home,
as you said, Kate, step it up, Mike.
Step up your game.
You talk about the your mom was happy.
She was happy,
There's a part of the book where you're with a physician and she's being interviewed and you said that she was swinging her legs just like a child and she was giggling like she was a child.
And some with dementia do feel that. Some of them, they say that the older you get, the more you become of who you were as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So for my mom, even though her brain was gone, she was a 3-year-old little girl.
Yeah,
It reverts back. But the mean part, no, Bill, I didn't experience that, but I watched a lot of children, young ones, and adults who would go to visit their mom or dad in the dementia home, and some of those people were
hard,
not nice, painful.
It's hard for the adult or for the person, the child who's dealing with someone with that to separate that this really isn't that person. They don't mean what they say. That becomes a very difficult part of this whole thing. But this is a story of love, and it's something that is a real good read. It's available all over the place. And, again, it's Breakfast Memories, A Dementia Love Story by Kate Hanley, available all over. Again, your book signing is coming up.
January 22nd at JCC, 6 p.m.
Thanks so much, Kate.
That story you told, by the way, at the beginning, where she was basically, I'll say, petting the napkins, rubbing them. That was really beautiful.
Pretty touching.
That is a very touching
story. It's what she did. Thank you. She, remarkable woman.
Yeah. Kate, thank you.